Just to make a little bit more of a connection for you, those of you that know our emblem, the bridge, Bridge of Hope, that was done by Bruce Otway in Murray, and Gail is Bruce's sister. So you'll see the family connection there. So we're just glad to have them today, and we just turn the service over to you just to you just take your time and minister to the people. Let's give them a welcome.
Good morning. I usually do play and sing, but as I was preparing, I just didn't feel like, I don't know, the Lord just didn't give me liberty to do that. And so I want to testify, because it is in Him and through Him that I have my very being. Jesus has made all the difference in my life. And as I was just thinking about what to say, I thought about you guys, the younger people over here. When I was about 8 years old, I was the biggest scaredy cat. I had to have my daddy come in every night, check under my bed. I would have these terrible nightmares. But you know, when I got saved, all that fear went away. And I knew that Jesus was with me. And I could go to sleep. I slept the best night of my life the night I got saved as a young girl. So I encourage you, Jesus can make all the difference in your life. If you have issues of being afraid, he can take care of that. And when I was a teenager, people in my high school thought I was stuck up. And really, I was shy. And when I would walk down the aisle, the hall, instead of making eye contact with people, I would just sort of glance down, or I would glance up. And finally, somebody in my class told me they thought I was a snob. And I was like, I'm not a snob. I'm just so shy. But you know what? When I got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I was no longer shy. Amen. Amen. And that being able to speak to people led me to become a teacher. And I did run a dictatorship. I must say that I was like the head honcho of the classroom, and I loved being in charge, and I just loved children. I loved teenagers. I was called a middle schooler, but I was like, you're crazy. Nobody likes middle school kids. I love middle school kids. I don't know. I sympathize with them. It's a hard life when you're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I did not enjoy my middle school years, so I had to draw that. And I didn't have the Holy Ghost. That was my problem. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, He made all the difference in my life. And then, you know, we go through these phases in our lives. We get all the kids raised, and it's a bunch of hubbub, and we love going everywhere they go, and life is busy, and then they leave. And it's terrible. I don't like it at all. But because Jesus is the head of my heart and my mind and my life. And I do like this guy over here. We sort of enjoy being together, you know. So, Jesus fills that place for you, ladies, when your children are gone. And the church that we go to, there are a lot of older people there. And you know what's neat about that? Is if you're still here, God is not finished with you yet. There is a purpose in your life. You have a sphere of influence of people that you can still reach out to. And I would venture to say that there would not be an empty place in this building if all of your children, your grown children, and your grandchildren came here. I know there are lots of children and grandchildren that maybe aren't going anywhere. And Jesus can make all the difference in their life. So if you don't know my friend Jesus, I encourage you to know Him today. He's the best friend you'll ever have, and He does make all the difference. So we are just so excited to be here. I don't have a good rememberer like I used to. You know, I know people that were at Murray. Maybe when I see you, will please reconnect with me. But we attended there as a young married couple, and then our children were part of Chi Alpha, and they went to Hope Harbor when they were in Murray. So I would love to reconnect with some of you. But the Lord bless you this morning. Thank you guys for having us.
If any of you were at Murray First Assembly in the mid-80s, picture black hair, black beard, 50 pounds ago, that would be me. So some of you, we know each other whether you know it or not. And so I am privileged to be here. And this is how I rolled back in that day. I had a guitar and I sang and did all that. And Brother Eric remembers those days. And so he asked me, you know, I sure would like to hear that song you used to sing. And he called the song out. So I had to blow the dust off my guitar and get my calluses back and all that, because I haven't played guitar in a long time. I went to the keyboard and began to write, and I lead worship from the keyboard and all that. So that's what I do. I can't do both at the same time. So I had to get back in playing condition to even come and see you. So I want to dedicate this to my dear friend Eric. God bless him for having me. This just tells a story. That's all this song does, is tell a story. But it'll tell mine. And I suspect as you listen to it, it'll tell yours. Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. It sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Who's got a bid on this old violin? One more and we'll be through. And then he cried, one, give me $1, who'll make it two? Only $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice, now that's a good price. So who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hand, don't wait any longer, the auction's about to end. Who'll make it four? That's $1 more to bid on this old violin. Well, the air was hot while the people stood around as the sun was sinking low. From the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And he wiped the dust from the old violin, and he tightened up the strings. And he played out a melody pure and sweet, as sweet as the angels sing. And then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, what am I bid for this old violin? Then he held it up with a bow. And then he cried, one, give me 1,000, who'll make it two? Only 2,000, who'll make it three? 3,000 twice, now that's a good price. So who's got a bid for me? People called out, one made the change, we don't understand. The auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the master's hand. And now you know many a man with his life out of tune is battered and scarred by sin. And he is auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like the old violin. And then the master comes up, and the foolish crowd, they don't understand. the worth of a soul or the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. And then he cried, one, give me 1,000, who'll make it two? Only 2,000, who'll make it three? 3,000 twice, now that's a good price. So who's got a bid for me? People called out, what made the change? We don't understand. The auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the Master's hand. Glory to God. You may know this if you do sing it with me. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, he's my master, Savior, Prince of Peace, ruler of my heart today. Jesus, Lord, to me. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me, he's my ruler. He's the ruler of my heart today. Jesus, Lord, to me. Why don't you slip your hand up and worship God? Would you do it? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Take me just a minute to get unhooked. Praise God. Blessed Jesus. Man, that felt good. All right, are we hot? Very good. Well, thank the Lord. My name is Bob. My last name is Grisham, like the famous author with and no money. So, and I have been married not long enough, but 37 years to my sweetheart. And just whenever somebody asks me how long you've been married, I say not long enough. So, but it's actually been 37 years. We have two children. Jesse is 32. Rachel is 30. I had the privilege of marrying both of them. Rachel just about 3 months ago. So we had that all arranged from when they were little. And it was a little harder marrying her. I'll just confess that to you. Not because I didn't like the boy, because he's a good boy. He's mine now, so we're going to keep him. But I kept telling myself, you cannot become a basket case. You have a job to do. So I just steeled myself that way. You have a job to do. Your job is to get these young people married. It's not for you to fall apart in a pile of goo. So despite my outward appearance, I'm really kind of a softy. And it was difficult, but we did it. So my son Jesse lives in Nashville. He makes his living three or four different ways. One of those is in the music business. He's passed me up on the guitar long ago. Excellent singer songwriter. If you ever need somebody that knows how to lead worship, especially for young people, you need Jesse because he can do it. And I'd say that to anyone. And Rachel is in her second year of residency at the Norton's Children's Hospital in Louisville. She is a pediatrician and knocking them alive. And thank God neither one of them ever caused us a moment's trouble. And they lived for Jesus the whole time, knocked them alive the whole time. Lived for Jesus in college when most people don't. And came out living for Jesus, still doing it. And I can tell you this, my boast is in the Lord. We may have made a lot of mistakes. We did some things right, but I can fulfill this scripture in your ears. Little John Little John 3 says this, I have no greater joy than to know that my children follow me in the truth. Blessed God. Listen, I can look at the back of the eyelids at night saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we bought a six-passenger van. How's that for hot and getting it, isn't it? Six-passenger van. Because I want to be able to take my six in the same vehicle somewhere. And we're going to do that. After all the hurricanes are over, we're going to go on a cruise. So there you go. Anyway, that's basically my background. I have pastored two churches. I'm not pastoring now. So I attend Bethel Tabernacle in Paducah. And I do this wherever anybody will have me. So we travel in ministry as often as we can, wherever the Lord wants us to go. All right, that's us. How's that? What about you? What's going on with y'all? Just kidding. Get to that later. Get to that later. All right, now, I want to talk to you today about something that God is really dealing with me about. So the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of his fruit. So he's been working on me about this. Has God ever had you up on the rack and going, and all that? Because he's working on me about that. And so I feel like I'm an expert on this now, the subject I'm going to broach with you. So if you, I think they're going to shoot it up here, but this is my kicking off scripture is Psalm 119 and verse 165. 165. If you could make that change for me, Mr. Computer Man. Thank God for these people that know how to do technical stuff. Jesse is a computer guru, and he'll say, Dad, all you got to do is, and man, smoke's coming out the back, and I don't know how to do that stuff. My helpline is 1-800-JESSE. I'm sure he gets really kind of tired of that, but you know, I said, I don't want to hear nothing about it because I taught you to eat food with a fork, so I don't want to. Don't want to hear you're complaining. Psalm 119, verse 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When I read that, I said, you better help me, Jesus. You better help me because I don't qualify. But he's been working on me. You know, one of the prevailing things that you'll see if you're on Facebook or any of those other things, I don't know, if you do Twitter, does that make you twit? I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do any of that. I do have a Facebook account. Gail set it up. That's the only reason we have one. Then I stole it from her and she had to set up her own. But one of the things that you'll notice, you'll see it in the news if you watch the news. I don't highly recommend that you watch a bunch of news. But at least when you do, you need to go flush your brain out with some word and get along with the Lord a little bit and see if he won't deliver you from some of that. But what I see is people are offended about everything. You can't say anything. If you don't hug the right people, they blame it on you. If you hug too many people, they blame it on you. If you gave some people $5, they would complain if it wasn't the right change. They're just offended about everything. And I don't get that. That I believe that comes from such a self-centered position that you think people owe you something. Well, I don't think anybody owes me anything. Sure, don't Jesus owe me anything. I owe him up to here. I'm in hock, as my old brother Rahil used to say. I'm in hock to Jesus up to here, spending my life working off the debt. Just got started. So people are just offended about stuff. They go, they lose their mind over, I don't even know. Would you believe that there have been times that I have actually offended people? I don't even know what I did. I'm just kind of being myself. I'm kind of straight up now. I don't sugarcoat things too much. So if you have, I might offend you. I'm not trying to. This is how I see the world. This is how I communicate. And I promise you, I'm an acquired taste. I know that. But I'm not trying to, but people get offended whether you mean to do it or not. I've never been able to tell anyone that they're lost and undone without God or a son, and the ultimate result is that they're going to split hell wide open and have them like that. Did you like it? I didn't. Who do you think you are talking to me like that? You just think you're better. Okay, all that blah, 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 blah. People get offended. All right, even though you don't intend to. I have learned that the correct response or the correct evaluation of that is people take offense, whether you offered it or not. That's going to be what I'm going to talk about today. See, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know how peaceful it gets if you just don't take offense? Now, I'm not saying they aren't going to offer it. I'm not saying your beloved spouse or your kids or your grandkids or your honorary brother-in-law, the neighbor next door, the whatever. I'm not saying they aren't going to offer it. I'm saying, are you going to take it? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Are you going to take offense? Well, bless God, you don't know what they said to me. You know, they don't have a right to talk to me like I'm just going to give them a peace of mind. There's your peace out the door. And you're in control of that. So you get to make those choices every day, don't you? Sure you do. I got saved in 1979, filled with the Holy Ghost in 1979. I've been in and never out since then. With all my faults and flaws, I've lived for Jesus the whole time. Been preaching since 1984 in some form. And I can tell you, I have learned every day I make a choice. What am I going to do today? I've already made a choice about tomorrow, what I'm going to do tomorrow. Have you? How about next year? Have you made a choice about that? If God lets me see it, I'm going to live for Jesus. That's a choice I've made. And then on top of that, I've got some other choices I'm now going to make. Am I going to give somebody a knuckle sandwich when I think they deserve it? There's a choice you're going to have to make. Are you going to tell people how old you are out the window of your car when they cut you off in traffic? There's a choice you have to make. I had some lady tell me she was 11 not too long ago. I just stuck my hand out the window and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And guess what? A guy that went to my church was right behind me. And if I had taken offense and responded in kind, I would have lost all credibility with him ever. So you see, I believe I'm an ambassador of Christ. Do you? What that means is you represent him with the authority to speak for him. Would that not shut your mouth wide open? In some of those things where you just got to give Sister Doolally a piece of her, my mind, I'm just going to straighten her out. Yeah, but I represent Jesus. I had somebody ask me the other day, or mention to me the other day, because I'm kind of cut up. You can tell I like to tease. A spoonful of sugar and all helps the medicine go down. But she said to me, "Bob, have you ever considered stand-up? Stand-up comedy." I said, "Yeah, but the problem is I'm a counterpuncher. I don't create the funny stuff. I just make funny stuff out of what you say. Or funny stuff out of what you do." And so I said, "I might be a good New York insult comic, but I don't think Jesus would like it. So I'm not going to do that." Now, that doesn't prevent me from still being a tease and a cut-up, but I just don't want to be known for, "Man, that guy is, he'll cut your legs out from under you." I do enough of that anyway. But my point is, ambassadors of Christ represent Jesus everywhere we go. 24/7, 365, and not just so people can see your car parked in the parking lot of the church on Sunday. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want to couple with that Matthew 11 and verse 6, part B. It's just the last little part there. Jesus says this in Matthew 11 and verse 6, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." You mean you go down there to that church where then people shout and run and shout and dance all about and holler? You want them tongue talkers? Yes. Guilty as charged. I hope there's enough evidence to prove that. So are you offended by that? You ain't one of them Christians, are you? You believe the Bible? What a knucklehead. Only idiots and simple-minded people that can't think for themselves believe the Bible. How can you believe that if God was so good, how could He? Jesus said, you want to be happy? Don't be offended at me, because that won't work. You'll have to get to the point where you're not offended about anything if you want to really make it, I guess, be happy is how we would put it, be full of joy. Is your joy for sale? If it is, the devil will find your price. He'll see to it that somebody, you know how to keep people from getting your goat? Don't tell them where it's tied. The devil will cause you all kinds of, he'll spot that one thing that will, Rachel told me one time, Dad, you're on my last nerve. I said, well, you ain't got but one. What am I supposed to do with that? Somebody says, you're driving me crazy. My first response, why is that such a short trip? Does it have to be? Your choice. Your choice. And I submit to you that when you fail to make the right choice, you're giving your peace away. You're letting somebody else control you. I remember Jesse Duplantis told this one time. I'm just going to tell it like he said it. Jesse Duplantis, I like him. He's kind of funny. He's a little wild, but I like him. So he's doing the altar thing like he normally does, sweating through his shirt and all that. And this guy, he said, this guy 55 years old come up to him and said, Brother Jesse, I was molested as a boy of 5. He said, well, how old are you now? He said, I'm 55. He said, man, get over it. How's that for Holy Ghost ministry? Not because I'm not sympathetic and I'm so sorry that you went through anything terrible. There's people sitting in this room, if you took the time, you could tell us all some of the bad stuff that happened to you. We would never mention ours compared to yours. We just wouldn't mention it because yours is a whole lot worse. All right? But there's going to have to come a day when either that's going to continue to control you the rest of your life, you're going to have to get over it. Jesus can heal your broken heart if you give Him all the pieces. Just give them all to Him. Don't let that thing, that person, that event, that thing in history steal from you now. That was then, this is now. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, did something terrible happen to you? You don't know what they did. Hey, would you believe I got voted out one place? I didn't like that a bit. I thought they were just dead wrong. Should have took another vote. But they didn't. And so I could have got under the bed and sucked my thumb and still be under there. Because I did get under there for a little while. I just didn't stay very long. I'm admitting that to you. But I didn't live there. There's no life there. And I wasn't about to let that steal my joy. I don't work for you. I don't work for them. I work for Jesus. I want you to like me, really. I'm still surprised sometimes that Gail, when we get in the van together, she's going to go home with me. That still surprises me every once in a while. But she will. She's going to. She actually wants to. I know that some of y'all can't deal with that. But I want you to like me. But if you don't, I'm going to go on with Jesus. Is that okay? Can you handle that? And if I can't get you to like me, I'm sorry. Brother Eric will bring somebody in here the next time, you'll like them. But I'm not going to let that control me, and you can't let those things control you. There is victory in Jesus. All right, now I want to share a couple words with you. You don't have a clock or nothing, man, so you're just going to give me one of these. I have a watch that was given to me by a friend of mine. I told him I don't even wear a watch, but he just had to give me one. So I wear it in honor of him because it's an expensive watch. And I wouldn't have ever bought this thing. I'd have bought one of those $7 Walmart ones, and when the battery dies, throw it away and get another one. But I had to have this. So anyway, I'll look at it every once in a while. It won't mean anything. I'll just look at it. Now, I'm having fun, Eric. I hope this is okay. I'm having a ball. Thanks for having me. If I don't ever get to come back, I'm going to enjoy this time. So I want you to look at this. In the original language, the word offend or offended or offense, to put all those root words together. That comes from an original Greek word, skandalon. Does that sound familiar to any words that you can think of? Like scandal. That's exactly where that comes from. Skandalon. And it is a noun, and it means this. This freaked me out. It is the part of a trap to which the bait is attached. Skandalon. The part of the trap to which the bait is attached. Therefore, it's the trap or the snare itself. In other words, to be offended is a trap. And it will capture you and hold you maybe till you bleed out if somebody doesn't come along and rescue you. Don't take the bait. You're sitting at the Thanksgiving table. Maybe you have a large family like I do, and then there's 50, 60 people in that house sometimes when I was a boy. And you know, some of them you like good and some of them you don't like so good, whatever. And so your ornery uncle's always there and he's always going to cause some kind of stuff. Some people are not happy unless they stir a fight up and then step back and watch it. They won't even fight. They just want to get the fight started so they can watch it. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. You want peace? There's a deal here. Here's the deal. Great peace have they which love thy law. Do what Jesus wants you to. I know that's so simple. Even kindergartners can get that. Do what your boss says, and the end result of that will be peace because you won't give it away. You won't have a hole in the screen for the flies of the enemy to come in and steal from you. Don't take the bait. All right, so it's a trap, the part of the trap that the bait is on. Don't take the bait. Also, it could be translated stumbling block, and it is. In the New Testament, this is used metaphorically, not of a real trap or a snare, but something that would catch you. All right, so it's used metaphorically of anything that arouses prejudice. How much of that's going on in the news today? You can't even disagree with somebody, and it doesn't matter whether they're red, yellow, black, and white, you're a racist. Whatever you said, if you don't agree with me, you're a racist. Okay, that's a snare or a trap. You can fall into that if you wish, but it will steal your peace. And it will make you ineffective in the kingdom because won't nobody want to hear from you. You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. If you allow a root of bitterness grow up in you, the Bible tells us, not only will it defile you, but many will be defiled thereby. You cannot afford it if you want to represent Jesus right. You can't afford to be a touchy baby, wah, and about everything. You just can't. This is an old saying, not original with me. I don't mind feeding a bottle. I hate to part the whiskers to do it. So can we grow up? Man, grow up. Stop being a big baby. Eric, you can put a bonus in for me today for saying that. Stop being a baby. I see that little commercial where the little girl looks at everything. So how about this effect? That's for babies. She says that about her. You want some Jell-O? That's for babies. Everything for babies. She can't get along with anything. She's a baby. Don't be a baby. All right, so scandalizo, it's the action to put a snare or a stumbling block in someone's way. Picture this, that you go into the house of a blind man and rearrange his furniture just for meanness. Don't put something scandalous in someone's way. Don't take the bait. Now, let's talk about some situations you could get in that you won't even try to take the bait, but you will. 1 Timothy 1 in verse 3 says this, starting reading verse 3. Now, Paul is grooming Timothy to take his place, if you will, a father-to-son relationship. And Paul knows he's going to leave the scene eventually, and it wasn't too much longer after this that he did. And he's grooming Timothy to take his place, to be his replacement. I really don't think that Paul and Timothy were a lot alike, but what has that got to do with anything? He can still succeed his father. And so he says to Timothy in this in verse 3, "And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." In other words, I wanted you to remain at Ephesus while I went to Macedonia. All right, so he's pulling double duty. Now, Paul would probably much rather Timothy went with him. I know I would rather have my son with me in Paducah than being in Nashville. I wasn't in favor of that, but he decided to do that anyway. Go figure. You stay here in Ephesus. I'm going to go to Macedonia. And while you're here, this is what I want you to do. He says, "That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So evidently there were people trying to get off track or twist Paul's words or add to it or take away from it or whatever the case may be. And Paul said, "I want you to stick around here and encourage people, make sure that they're saying the same thing I'm saying. Because I'm saying what Jesus told me to say. Follow me as I follow Christ." That they all speak the same thing. That they with one mouth and one mind glorify God. This is what Paul was teaching. All right, so stay here and take care of that. Now, in verse 4, see that they don't do this either. "Neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do." If God was so good, what about them starving people in Biafra? If God is so good, what about them 57 million aborted babies? If God is so good, how come our schools like they are? Okay, so see, people are asking these questions. You want to get caught up in that? Help yourself. There goes the peace out the door. Can't afford it. I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. You can't spare that either. It's a trap. It's like that guy in Star Wars, Jesse likes to imitate. It's a trap. It is a trap. Don't take the bait. So don't do that. And it says, now the end of the commandment, to sum up everything I'm telling you to do, it's charity. That is love. Let love be your motivating factor. We ought to all know that. Jesus came because he loved us. He didn't come because he had to. God gave this gift to the world because he loved us, not because he had to. His motivation was entirely because he loves us. And so what do you think our motivation ought to be when we're interacting with people? "Yeah, but I want to give them a knuckle sandwich." Okay, I know you want to, but it's no sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to the temptation. Want to, okay, maybe you need to change your want to's. Just don't do it. Simple enough, right? So the end of the commandment is charity. And watch this: out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. In other words, your heart is pure toward the Lord and you're going to love people. You have a good conscience because you don't have anything to feel guilty about because you've been living for Jesus. Amen. You don't have to spend all your time repenting because you're living a raggedy life. It takes up a lot of your energy. You ought to just live right and spit white and get it over with. As opposed to spitting any other color if you didn't understand what I mean. Spit white. Don't have to worry about it then. Somebody says, "Brother Bob, do you drink?" "Not a bit. I am a teetotaling abstainer." Well, the Bible doesn't say, but okay, whatever, knock yourself out. Do whatever you think you ought to do. You're going to stand or fall to your own master just like me. But if, you know, on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 means none, 100 means all in, somewhere on that scale you're probably doing something you ought not to do. I found a solution to that. Zero. Don't ever have to think about it again. Don't have to give it another thought. Doesn't occupy my time. I'm just happy as a lark. Don't think I'm missing a thing. Get you some if you want it. Pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned. That means you believe God and you ain't faking it. You really believe God. Well, what if he kills me? You tell me. I'll still trust him even if he kills me. Because I will believe, because he knows the beginning from the end, that he had a reason for that and it was a good thing, and then I get to go be with Jesus and y'all can have it. That sounds like a good deal to me, brother. Go to be with Jesus and let y'all have it. Woo! All right. Now watch this. From which some have swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, there goes your peace. You got your mind fixed on something else other than Jesus. All right, Romans 14:1. Getting close. I don't usually preach over about 30 minutes, or I might go 40 if you can handle it. Romans 14 and verse 1. One phrase. Romans 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Good news for all of you weaklings out there. We have a commandment to receive you. Aren't you glad? Okay, everybody that I'm talking to, raise your hand right now, you weaklings. Never mind. I'm just kidding. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. But not to doubtful disputations. Listen, I saw this movie one time. Peter Sellers was the Pink Panther. Anybody watching old silly movies? That guy is a nutcase. I'm surprised they let him out of the asylum long enough to make a movie. But he, in this particular movie, he was dressed up like a pirate. This was his undercover disguise. Dressed up like a pirate. And he had this rubber parrot on his shoulder, inflated. And it had a leak in it. So he'd go, or fall down. I know this is so silly. You can't believe I'm talking about this on Sunday morning. And he had this bellows pump under his arm. And he'd go, and pump the parrot back up. It was the silliest thing I've ever seen. It was so silly. And you know, he'd go about his business, and then he'd go, and he'd go. That's what he's talking about. You may have to carry some weak folks. And sometimes you might have to pump them back up. Now, you're going to need Eric Kelleher to do that long term. Because Bobby ain't doing that long term. Because it don't take me very long to go, I can see that you probably need somebody else to help you, don't you? I'm looking for commandos. I can't do that. I'm not real sweet and kind as you might recognize. And so I'm not real good at that kind of, come on, you little boogie boogie. You'd be like, come on. I'm not real good at that. I need to get you after you're done with that. But anyway, that's what being weak is about. You're supposed to receive those kind of people, but I'm not going to fuss with you about that. You don't want to come on and move on? Well, God, let me know how it goes. I don't know what else to do. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm not going to get out of the stream and sun on the bank with you until you decide to get in the water. Now, there are people who are good at that. And if that's what you want to do, God bless you, do it, please, because I'm not any good at it. But I'm going. Come with me, and we'll get to Jesus. I'll say that. So, but you're supposed to receive them. God bless you, you little baby. Come on, sit by me, and it'll be all right. But we're supposed to receive them. But the doubtful disputations about, well, I just don't understand when he said that so-and-so cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I just don't think that's right. Now what are you going to do? That's a doubtful disputation. Can't really handle that too good. I'm not real diplomatic about it. You might know that too. So we're supposed to receive them, but I'm not going to fuss with you about it. You don't believe Mary was born a virgin? I've got time to talk about that. I'm not. You don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? Got no time for that. Are you with me? Am I making sense? I will receive you, but I'm not going to dispute these things. There's just some things we're not going to even discuss them. There's no need. You just need to believe them or not. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Watch this. I'm going to quit right here, I think. Now, we exhort you, brethren. This is 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I want to tell you what those words really mean. What's this got to do with being offended? Well, if you'll handle this right, you won't ever be offended about anything. You'll just drive on. What was that? I don't know. Just drive on. Visionary people are kind of like that. They're going, we got to get over there. Oh, you just run over somebody. Sorry. That bump in the road was Joe Smith. Well, we're going to throw him a good funeral. There are people in the kingdom like that. It's okay. Jesus loves them too. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That word unruly comes from a Greek word atakatos, which means unruly, disorderly, not keeping order or rank, or insubordinate. Warn them. Because if you hang around with them and let them have a say, and peace out the door. If you cast out a contentious brother, something ceases. Contentions will cease. It's in there. Now, we don't want to talk about that, but it's in there. You got somebody that's just contrary, backward, aggravating, has gripe juice for breakfast. After a while, you're going to have to deal with that. That's a contaminant, and it'll disturb your peace. All right. Now, here at this church, there is, if you will, a recognized authority structure. I know it's loose and it is kind and it's flexible and all of that. But I used to tell my folks when I was pastoring in Wycliffe, there is only one guy in this building who can say we. I would like for that person to stand up right now. That would be you, brother. He ain't gonna stand up. There's only one person in this building that can say we. Anybody else that tries to do anything of import without him, it's a sedition. You're setting up your own government. You're bypassing what God has established. What does the Bible say about the person that God has put in authority over you? How should you treat them? You should esteem them how much? Highly for the work's sake. You don't go around them because he don't want to fulfill your wish list. That's insubordinate. So those people need to be warned. You want to talk about something that'll steal your peace? Get a bunch of them people working together. No telling what will happen. You might get voted out. Warn them that are unruly. Unruly means insubordinate. Okay, you don't have to be like me, but Eric has a way of, he's got a sweet, tender way of telling you you're a knucklehead. I just know it. Did he just insult me? I don't know. I felt so good talking to him, but I think he really just cut my legs out from under me. Bless God. I feel so good now. See, I don't get that, but he can do it. I know he can. Tender-hearted guy. I'm hard enough to roller skate on. Now, the other thing one of the other words, weak. This word weak, support the weak. Weak, asthenes, that means feeble-minded. Without strength or faint-hearted. People that just get so easily discouraged, it doesn't matter. If the canary gets the chills or cat has a hairball, they're falling to pieces. They have to call the pastor because they heard the floorboards creak at 2:00 in the morning. Or call you because you have a headache at 2:00 in the morning. When did you have this headache? Well, it started about 2:00 yesterday afternoon. Why didn't you call me then? Instead of wait till I'm trying to sleep. Anyway, these people, they have to be supported. But yet, you cannot allow that mindset to prevail because it will cause offense and you will lose your peace. And then the last word I wanted to talk about, supporting the weak, feeble-minded, that's it. Without strength and faint-hearted, and then weak is someone who is not powerful or someone who is lacking in strength. They just don't have strength. Yeah, we're supposed to take care of those people. We are supposed to, those that are strong, support the weak. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. This is a test. Do you have to look like me and talk like me and carry yourself like I do to be strong in the Lord? No. You just need to be what you is and live the life. People will recognize that. This is a test. Are you passing the test of being one of those that can do these things? Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want to finish one more and I'm done. I'm really mean it. I'm going to walk down there. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Final words to the Corinthians here in this first letter anyway. It says this, watch ye, pay attention. I pray with my eyes open a whole lot. Why? Because the Bible says watch and pray. I can't do that with my eyes shut. I might miss something. Watch ye. Stand. Yeah, I need to know what you're doing too. You might be doing something I don't want you to. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. That speaks for itself. Hang in there. Hold your ground. If God has given you ground, hold it. If necessary, fight with that sword until it cleaves to your hand and you can't turn it loose. Defend your little pea patch in the name of Jesus. He'll help you. Now, so stand fast in the faith. Here's the one I wanted. Quit ye like men. Quit ye like men. Now, in our language, quit means pack up your toys and go home. I'm out of here. But that's not what this means. The King James translation is not the best translation here. Okay, I just turned 61 last week. I'm too old to start memorizing another thing, so I still am a King James guy, whatever. Quit ye like men. That word quit, it's got two special meanings. Quit, to make a man of. Okay, now girls, no offense. I love women. I married one. Okay, I don't have any problem with women. I have no problem with women in ministry, none of that. So this is not a sexist remark. This is about growing up, becoming mature, so that you can handle it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. If you look in the original Hebrew of that Psalm 37 scripture, the word good is in italics, which means it was added by the translators hoping to make things make more sense. But all you have there is the steps of a man ordered by the Lord. Now, that word man comes from a Hebrew word geber. That means a mighty warrior who is capable of taking instructions from his commander and finishing the task. The steps of a mighty warrior who's capable of hearing from God and carrying out his instructions, those steps are ordered by the Lord. So what if you ain't that? Well, brother, you don't understand. I'm just so shy. Okay, whatever. You going to die shy? Shy has nothing to do with it. God will use you shy. That doesn't mean you can't be mighty in the Lord. But this is what quit you like men mean. Grow up. Become a man up. Brave up. Cowgirl up. Whatever bumper sticker you got. That's what that means. Get mature so that you can do what you need to do in the kingdom as God instructs you. And then finally it says, let all your things be done with charity. That is, let love motivate everything. I told you I was going to come down. That's how you know I'm going to quit in about 20 minutes. So, as I continue to close, like Rick tells that story about that little boy says to his dad, what does it mean when he says I'm closing? Nothing. Not a thing. But I am. It's because you should be glad because I'm hungry. That'll motivate me to be done so we can go to lunch. But anyway, I want you to meditate on this. I am basically a prophetic teacher. I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not a revivalist. I don't normally holler at people. I can. Sometimes I run, shout, and dance out about two, sweat on the first two rows and all that, spit in the microphone. Sometimes I have done that, but I'd rather talk to you like you can understand me and impart something to you so that you're better off after I leave than you were before I came. So I want you to meditate on that. The secret to peace is no offense. And in that offense is bait that if you'll take it, the result will be it will steal your peace. That's the whole, if I'd have just said that and sat down, y'all could have gone home happy. But that is the crux of the matter right there. Now, I did explore some of those things that will facilitate blowing it. And so you need to see, well, maybe I do that. Maybe I'm an enabler. You know, if someone comes to me, my wife runs the benevolence arm of Bethel. And so she has indigents and homeless people and all that coming in all the time. And we have a food bank. So the money is donated for food. If they come in and get food, they get food. But they normally want money. Okay, so they won't even say, hello, how you doing, kiss my foot or nothing. When you pick the phone up, y'all pay light bills? Well, yeah, we pay ours every month. What do you do? They want money. All right, but see, they come in and they're smoking and they're snorting up Peru and they're draining Clydesdales every week and all of that. That's, y'all didn't know that's where that comes from, did you? Anyway, that wasn't very nice, was it? I'm so sorry I said that. Just cut that out of the tape. I let my prejudice show right then. That's not really where it comes from. So anyway, so if I gave them money, what would I be paying for? So I won't do that. If I know you're going to misuse it, I'm a steward of what God has given me. I'm not going to give it to you. So it'll go up in smoke. And don't let them lay the guilt trip on you. Well, if you was a Christian, you would. That'll be the day I take Christian living advice from somebody that ain't living it. What about you? You got to be careful who you take advice from. You might end up with their lifestyle. So I just can't let them do that, right? My heart goes out to them. I'm so sorry you're in the hole that you're in, and I'm so sorry that you're still digging. So the answer to the first thing you do when you're in a hole is, and you want out, what do? Stop digging. Come with me. We can get out of that hole. Well, I don't want that. I just want you to give me 50 bucks. Can't do it. So, see, we have to be able to organize all that stuff in our thinking, not facilitate things that are anti-Bible and anti-Christ, because if you do, it will destroy your peace. And that's where we're at. Peace with God. See, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That means in His kingdom, that's what He does, is peace. And so if you're walking with the King, the result from that, the byproduct of that, is peace in your life. When you get out of step with Him, then it destroys your peace. So what I wanted to do is explore a few things, just a few, and not all of them by any means, a few things that might destroy your peace. You want peace? Hook it up with the Prince of Peace and stay there. No prisoners, no excuses. Don't want to talk about it. Get it done. And then you have the right people help you do that. I promise you with that. Now, before I sit down, I'll be glad to pray with anyone if you need healing or deliverance. I love the way you did this. I've never seen that done before. You just stop the parade and bring the elders up. That is really cool. I don't have elders packing with me, so I have to kind of do that myself. But I like that. And I said, that is really great. If I ever find anybody willing to let me pastor them again, I will. I'm going to do that. Oh my goodness! Behind every great man is a great woman rolling her eyes. I have this old preacher brother. His name is Harry Greaves, and he is holiness out to here. And if you don't snore hallelujah, you ain't going to make it. But he is a great man. He is. He's a great man. He sells his life for missions. He loves Jesus. He just thinks you ought to never cut your hair or wear slacks or have a TV or wear jewelry or makeup. Hair, makeup, jewelry, slacks, TV. That's his thing. All right. Now, he's mellowing out, but anyway, he's preached for so long, his voice is just like this all the time. I love Brother Greaves, and he loves me, and I'm not a bit like him. I'm really not. He's a lot meaner than I am. So, but anyway, I said, Brother Greaves, are you ever going to pastor again? I'll try to do it like you did. You ever going to pastor again, Brother Greaves? I'd have to hear six voices from another world. That's kind of the way I feel about it, too, brother. I'd have to hear six voices from another world before I became an overseer. But I like that. Now, if there's anybody here that needs healing or deliverance, I know I've teased with you a lot. We've laughed together, thank God. Because I hate it when I try to do that and nobody laughs. It really bothers me. I have to learn not to be offended by that. So, but if there's anyone that needs healing or deliverance, I'd be glad to lay hands on and pray for you, see what God will do. You've already done a masterful job of that. But if anybody's, something's come up since then, I'd be glad to pray with you or for you. And then if nobody comes, brother, back to you. I'm going to sit down and we'll go to the house or whatever we're going to do. Yes, ma'am. Can I get off this microphone, brother? Just cut me out.